Welcome to today's Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Tony Correa, and we're joined by City Manager Harold Stewart to talk about the code upgrades to existing buildings and a possible finance mechanism to be offered by the city. You guys recently held a special session of the City Council, and part of that special session was to discuss the possibility of funding for code upgrades to existing Knoxville buildings. Explain a little bit about what the City Council is looking to do with this kind of assistance.
One of the things that's been identified that's needing to be done since I've been here as a city manager was enforcing the codes that are on the book, and then also helping make sure that our codes are up to date and are following the best practices. And so, one, we've been working on updating our codes. A lot of our codes have been out of date, and so we're now adjusting for that and getting forward. And codes are constantly changing. And by that, I mean that depending on the type of code, there's usually a professional organization out there that kind of approves the industry standard for how what those codes should be and what should be required and not required, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a matter of keeping up with their recommendations. And sometimes there's some significant changes in those areas. So most recently, the one that we've experienced the most has to do with fire code. You know, we're on the 1994 Uniform Fire Code. Well, now there's a 2015 International Fire Code that's coming out. And so we're discussing our transition to that. And there's some significant changes in there, one of which would be the requirement of sprinkler systems into a movie theater, even retroactively. Even if the movie theater currently exists today, that code could require that an existing movie theater install sprinkler systems due to some major fire events and injury and loss of life in other communities within the country. And so as we're moving forward to that, I think one of the issues is that some of these changes have a very significant financial impact. And so as we move forward, we just want to make sure that, one, we do want to put these codes into place, and two, if we are, that we understand that it does have an impact adversely on the community. And then do we want to put something in place to help address that? What we talked about at the special council meeting was exploring a financial mechanism that could be put in place, funded by the city, that would help subsidize some of the costs of that code update, code compliance, as we change our codes and update our codes and enforce those codes, that there is some way to help with the cost burden of that. It's not going to take it completely away, but hopefully it helps soften the blow a little bit. Now, I want to clarify on that, though. That does not necessarily mean that we as city staff are going to come out and expect every building, and then there's going to be a list of expensive requirements coming from our staff that you have to fix this, you have to fix that. There's certain trigger points when these codes have to go into effect, and unless those triggers are activated, then most existing businesses aren't going to have to do anything with that. By that, I mean if a building is changing ownership and the use of that building is going to change significantly, let's say we're going to go from a building that's been used as an office space that's not going to be used as a restaurant, that's a significant change that would be qualified as a trigger that would result in that building has to be bought completely up to compliance with our current code. But as long as the building operates in its current format, chances are there isn't going to be any trigger pool that's going to require to come up to code compliance. It doesn't mean that a business owner or building owner shouldn't look at it and consider whether they want to do that, because there are reasons that those codes have changed, but there is no requirement from the city that they have to do it. The other trigger would be is if they're doing any significant remodel. I think the code identifies that if they're remodeling more than 50% of the building, that would trigger then that the entire building needs to be brought up to code compliance with the current codes. If they're doing less than 50%, let's say they're just doing one or two rooms, those rooms have to come up to compliance, but not the whole building itself. And so those are some of the things we're talking about. I'm in the process of drafting a policy for council's consideration on that, as well as some funding mechanisms that would allow for a percentage share and a maximum allowable cap for the city to help fund some of these projects. It would be for existing buildings only, dealing with code issues. And we'll work through all that, and there'll be more discussion at the council level as we move forward on that here in the coming weeks.
How precedented is this when it comes to a city helping out existing buildings with funding such as this?
When it comes to changing codes and updating codes, that is actually very common. That's kind of the recommended professional standard. The aspect of a city putting into place a finance mechanism to assist with that, in my opinion, is actually very rare. I'm not very familiar with very many communities that do that. So it's not uncommon for the code to change and those requirements to go into effect, but to actually have a council that would consider a financial mechanism to help subsidize the cost of that, I think is very unique to Knoxville.
And that's today's Let's Talk Knoxville. Thanks again to our guest, City Manager Harold Stewart, for joining us on the program. Stay tuned for more of today's news and local information. And remember, you can always get today's news and local information online at KNIAKRLS.com.